and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Thursday, January 20th, and we had 13 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Philadelphia, the 76ers defeated the Magic 123-110. In Washington, the Nets just edged past the Wizards 119-118. In Atlanta, the Hawks beat the Timberwolves 134-122. In Boston, the Hornets beat the Celtics 111-102. In Miami, the Heat defeated the Trailblazers 104-92. In Chicago, the Bulls defeated the Cavaliers 117-104. In Milwaukee, the Bucks beat the Grizzlies 126-114. In Dallas, the Mavericks just edged past the Raptors 102-98. In San Antonio, the Spurs defeated the Thunder 118-96. In Utah, the Rockets defeated the Jazz 116-111. In Denver, the Nuggets beat the Clippers in overtime 130-128. In Sacramento, the Pistons just edged past the Kings 133-131. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Pacers defeated the Lakers 111-104. So we will break down all 13 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, starting off today in Philadelphia, where the 76ers beat the Magic 123-110. The Sixers were led by Joel Embiid. He tied his career high, 50 points, and he did it on incredible efficiency, 17 of 23 from the field, 15 of 17 from the free throw line, and he also had 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, just insane production from Joel Embiid, another MVP caliber performance. If he keeps this up, he is absolutely going to be one of the front runners for MVP this season. And the 76ers also got 21 points from Tobias Harris and 14 from Tyrese Maxey. Whereas the Orlando Magic were led by Mo Bamba back into the starting lineup. He had missed a couple of games, and then Jamal Mosley had him coming off the bench, but he is a starter once again as Wendell Carter is still missing, and Bamba was incredible in this game. Like Joel Embiid, he was incredibly efficient, 12 of 15 from the field, 7 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 32 points, 3 blocks, incredible production from Bamba, not quite as incredible as Embiid, but still pretty impressive stuff. But unfortunately for Bamba, he just didn't have enough help. They got 18 points from Chuma Okeke off the bench, and then 14 from Jalen Suggs, the rookie in the starting lineup. And the Magic were actually leading this game at halftime. They had outscored the 76ers 36-22 in the second quarter, so they had a 10-point lead heading into the second half, but then they totally fell apart in the third quarter, or perhaps said another way, the 76ers were just incredible in that third quarter, especially Joel Embiid. They outscored the Magic 47-23 in the third, so they not only tied the game up, but took a commanding lead heading into the fourth quarter. It was a double-digit lead heading into the fourth, and then they just expanded upon that lead even further in the fourth. At one point, it was like a 26-point game with 7 minutes to go after a couple of free throws from Joel Embiid. So this game was over midway through the fourth quarter, and the 76ers cruised to victory. And overall, they shot the ball better than the Magic, 54% from the field for Philadelphia, just 44% from the field for Orlando. However, the Magic were on fire from beyond the arc. They were 51% from three. That is incredible. The 76ers were just 35%, so that was really keeping the Magic in this game, but unfortunately, they could just not keep up with Joel Embiid in that third quarter and the beginning of the fourth, and ultimately, the 76ers pulled away. And so with this win, Philadelphia improves to 26-18, so they're up in fifth right now in the Eastern Conference, just ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers in sixth, and they're just half a game behind the Milwaukee Bucks in fourth, and they're 1.5 games up on the Charlotte Hornets in seventh. So it's pretty tightly contested there at the top of the East. The Sixers are just 2.5 games off the top spot. And they're plus 1.8 in the point differential, is sixth best in the conference, but they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. That is the best of any team in the East. So pretty impressive run here for Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Whereas this loss takes the Magic to 8-38. So they are not only at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, but the bottom of the entire NBA. They are 21.5 games now off the top spot in the Eastern Conference. They are four games off the Detroit Pistons in 14th. They are on a 3-game losing streak, and they're just 1-9 in their last 10 games. They still just have the second worst point differential ahead of the Detroit Pistons at -9.1, but I would imagine if they continue to play the way they're playing right now, and if the Pistons continue to be somewhat respectable, that will eventually flip and the Magic will overtake the Pistons for worst point differential in the NBA. But nonetheless, moving on to the box score, and the Magic were led, as I mentioned, by Mo Bamba. He had a really solid game despite this loss. 32 points on 12 of 15 shooting. He was 7 of 8 from 3. That is just incredible in 30 minutes in the starting lineup. lineup. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. He was negative 15 in the plus minus. That was actually the best of any of the starters. Incredible shooting for Bamba, and it looks like he is going to be back in the starting lineup going forwards. And so they also got 14 points from Jalen Suggs, the rookie. He is also back in the starting lineup. He was 5 of 14 from the field in this game, 3 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, though. They also got 13 points from Cole Anthony. The sophomore point guard was 6 of 14 from the field in this game. He had 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. 9 points for Franz Wagner, the other rookie. In 34 minutes, he was 3 of 11 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Wagner. He had 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And Gary Harris, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists. And he was a team worst, negative 22 in the plus-minus. But off the bench for the Magic, they got some pretty solid contributions, namely from Chuma Okeke. Like Mo Bamba, he was incredibly efficient, including from beyond the arc in this game. He was 6 of 7 from the field, but all he took were 3-pointers. So he had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Just insane shooting from Okeke and Bamba. They went a combined 13 of 15 from 3. That is just bananas. Unfortunately, the rest of the team wasn't nearly as good. Franz Wagner was 1 of 6 from 3. Cole Anthony was 1 of 5. Gary Harris was 1 of 4. But nonetheless, Chuma Okeke was pretty incredible off the bench. He was plus 5 in the plus minus. And then they also got 6 points from Mo Wagner in 10 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. They also got 4 points from Ignas Brazdeikis in just 5 minutes and 3 points from Robin Lopez, the backup big man. And then just 2 points for the other 3 players to see the court, Admiral Schofield, RJ Hampton, and Terrence Ross. Ross was 0 of 4 from the field and Hampton was 1 of 6. And as for the 76ers, they were, of course, led by Joel Embiid. Another MVP performance from him. 50 points in just 27 minutes. He was incredibly efficient. 17 of 23 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer. He was 15 of 17 from the free throw line. He had 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And he was a team high, plus 24 in the plus minus. Insane numbers from Joel Embiid across the board. Looking at the box scores as the NBA night progressed, I thought, this is just incredible. He is hands down going to be the standout line of the night. But as we'll get to later in the show, another MVP candidate, another international big man, put up an equally incredible, if not even more incredible line. So we will get to that one in just a little bit. But nonetheless, this was pretty insane for the process, Joel Embiid. As for the other starters, they got 21 points from Tobias Harris in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 13 from the field, so pretty solid efficiency as well for him. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 14 points for the sophomore, Tyrese Maxey. He was efficient as well, 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 21 in the plus minus. And then the other 2 starters, Seth Curry and Charlie Brown Jr., didn't do a whole lot. They just combined for 8 points. Curry was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 5 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And Brown Jr. had just 3 points in 17 minutes. He was negative 17. That was by far the team low. And he was the only starter to not be positive in the plus minus. But off the bench for Philadelphia, they got 10 points from George Niang in 25 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. They got 9 points from the backup big man, Andre Drummond, in 17 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then Furkan Korkmaz had 8 points in 23 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 5 assists, and he was plus 15. And that was by far the bench high, so he was really out there with the starters in place of Charlie Brown Jr. for a lot of the game. And then 3 points for Isaiah Joe in 21 minutes, although he was just 1 of 4 from the field. All right, and next up we can move on to Washington, where the Wizards were just edged by the Brooklyn Nets, 119-118. There was no Kevin Durant in this game for the Nets, but Kyrie Irving did play, and he led the team in scoring. He had 30 points in the starting lineup. He was very efficient, 13 of 23 from the field. And they also got 27 points from LaMarcus Aldridge off the bench. He was 11 of 15 from the field. Incredible efficiency for Aldridge. I had hypothesized that Aldridge might be inserted into the starting lineup with Kevin Durant out to replace some of that mid-range shooting, some of that veteran leadership, but he played 32 minutes off the bench in this game, so good enough. De'Ron Sharpe in the starting lineup played just 16 minutes. And then the Nets also got 18 from James Harden and 17 from Patty Mills. Whereas the Wizards were led by Bradley Beal, he had 23 points, and they got 16 from Kyle Kuzma. And then solid contributions from a couple of guys off the bench. Rui Hachimura and Montrezl Harrell both had 14 points, and Denny Avdia had 13. But unfortunately, the Wizards just could not complete their comeback. They were trailing throughout the majority of this game. They had been outscored in the first quarter, 33-28, and then 41-34 in the second. So it was a double-digit lead throughout most of the second and third quarters. And so heading into the fourth, it was an 11-point game, but the Wizards came storming back. They outscored the Nets 32-22 in that final period. So they were right there neck and neck with Brooklyn at the very end of this game. It was an exciting finish. Unfortunately, the Wizards just could not execute the comeback. Kyle Kuzma had a clutch three-pointer with 36 seconds to go that cut the deficit to one. But unfortunately for Washington, that was the final point scored by either team. And so they would remain at 118-119 and lose this game. But it was an exciting finish and they nearly executed the comeback. So a good effort by the Wizards. And it was just the shooting that wasn't quite efficient enough. They were 47% from the field, whereas Brooklyn was 52%. That is really impressive. But the Wizards actually shot the ball a little bit better from three, and they also out-rebounded the Nets, and they had less turnovers. Brooklyn had 15. That's pretty sloppy, whereas the Wizards had 13. So all in all, a pretty impressive showing for the Wizards, but unfortunately, they just could not get over the hump at the end there. It's pretty tough when your opponent loses an All-Star, but then just replaces them with another All-Star. And Kyrie Irving, and he was, like I said, pretty incredible in this game. Definitely his best game since returning this season. So with this win, Brooklyn now improves to 28-16. So that is good for third place right now in the Eastern Conference. They're half a game behind the Heat and Bulls in first and second. So like I said, very tightly contested there at the top of the East. And they're 1.5 games up on the Bucks in fourth. And the Nets have a plus 2.4 point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. It's tied with the Bulls for fourth best. And they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Wizards, this loss takes them to 23-22. So they are currently in eighth right now in the Eastern Conference, two games behind the Charlotte Hornets in seventh, and just half a game up on the Boston Celtics and Toronto Raptors in ninth and tenth. So pretty tightly contested there in the middle of the East as well. The Wizards are negative 1.5 in the point differential, as we've touched on before. That is the worst in the Eastern Conference besides the Pistons and Magic at the very bottom. And the Wizards are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Nets, as I mentioned, were led by Kyrie Irving. He had 30 points in 38 minutes. He was 13 of 23 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, but 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And he had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 13 in the plus minus. That was a team high. So pretty incredible performance from Kyrie Irving after missing the last couple of games. They also got 18 points from James Harden, but he was pretty brutal in this game. 7 of 21 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He just could not get his shot to fall last night. He did have 8 rebounds and 9 assists, though, but he had 8 turnovers. That is rough for James Harden. He was negative 8 in the plus-minus. That was tied with Kessler Edwards for the team low. So they also got 17 points from Patty Mills. He was really efficient. 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was plus 12 in the plus minus. 14 for De'Ron Sharp, the rookie big man. In 16 minutes, he was 5 of 6 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And the aforementioned Edwards had 5 points in 35 minutes. He was 2 of 4 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 steals. He had 5 fouls, as did Sharp. So those two rookies combining for 10 fouls in the starting lineup. That is probably too many. They need to cut back on that. But as for the bench for the Nets, just three players saw the court, and LaMarcus Aldridge led the way. He was incredible in this game, 27 points in 32 minutes. He was 11 of 15 from the field, incredible efficiency, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and he was plus 4 in the plus minus. Fantastic game for the veteran, LaMarcus Aldridge. And then they got 4 points from the other two players to see the court, Bruce Brown and Cameron Thomas. Thomas, the rookie, was 2 of 7 from the field, and Brown was 1 of 3 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And as for the Wizards, they were led, as I mentioned, by Bradley Beal. He had 23 points in 37 minutes. He was 7 of 18 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Beal. He had 3 threes. He was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block, though. He was negative 11 in the plus-minus. That was a team low. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got 16 points from Kyle Kuzma. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 turnovers. 11 points for Spencer Dinwiddie, the point guard. He was also not super efficient, though. 3 of 11 from the field, just 1 of 6 from 3. He had 5 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal. 8 points for Daniel Gafford, the big man, but he just played 12 minutes. He is really getting squeezed out of the rotation with all the big guys coming in off the bench. They are just flush with talent in the front court. Gafford was perfect from the field while he was on the court, 3 of 3. He had 3 rebounds and 1 block in that time, but he is definitely a drop at this point because he's just not getting enough minutes with Harrell and Bryant and Avdija and Bertans and Hachimura all coming in off the bench, and they're basically all either power forward or center sized, so there's just not enough time for Gafford at this point. But nonetheless, the last starter was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He had 9 points in 31 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field, just 1 of 6 from 3. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And so off the bench for Washington, like I said, all those big guys coming in and scoring really efficiently. Hachimura had 14 points in 17 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds. Probably his best game since returning to the lineup, and he was a team high, plus 7 in the plus minus. They also got 14 points from the other backup big man, Montrezl Harrell. In 24 minutes, he was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks as well. And then 13 points for Denny Avdia, the sophomore. In 23 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Really solid production from those three, Avdia, Harrell, and Hachimura. And then they also got 6 points from Thomas Bryant, the backup center. In 12 minutes, he was 3 of 5 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 points for Corey Kispert, the rookie. In 14 minutes, he was 2 of 3 from the field. Davis Bertans saw the court for 8 minutes, but did not score. So anyways, it'll be really interesting to see how that rotation unfolds going forward throughout the rest of the season. Wes Unsfeld Jr. has an embarrassment of riches at the small forward, power forward, center spots. And so just how is he going to manage the rotations with all these guys deserving to see the court? We shall see. It's going to be interesting. It's kind of like how the Atlanta Hawks had too many wings, so they eventually just ended up trading Cam Reddish to the Knicks. And so we could potentially see a similar trade with the Wizards with one of their big guys. But moving on to the Atlanta Hawks, they were the next game up, and they defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 134-122. The Hawks were led by Trae Young. He had an incredible game, 37 points and 14 assists. He had 6 three-pointers. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. Incredible offense from Trae Young. And then they also got 22 points from DeAndre Hunter and 17 from the other two in the front court. Onyeka Okongwu, the sophomore, had 17 points and 8 rebounds, and John Collins had 17 and 12. And as for the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were led by D'Angelo Russell. He had 31 points. He was really efficient also, 10 of 18 from the field. And they got 20 from Anthony Edwards, 17 and 10 from Karl Anthony Towns. But in the end, the Hawks' offense was just too much for the Timberwolves to keep up with. Atlanta was incredibly efficient, 52% from the field and 39% from three. The Timberwolves weren't bad. They were 37% from three, but they were just 43% from the field overall. And they were actually leading throughout the majority of the first half. They had outscored the Hawks 42-26 in the first quarter. So they were leading by double digits throughout a large portion of the first half. In fact, it was 71-61 with a minute to go in the first half. But then in the third quarter, things totally fell apart for the Timberwolves. They were outscored by the Hawks 45-20 in that third quarter. That was just incredible by the Hawks. They not only tied the game up, but took the lead themselves. And it was actually them who were leading by double digits heading into the fourth quarter. It was 106-93 heading into the fourth. And then the Hawks just maintained, in fact, even expanded upon that lead in the fourth quarter. And so then they just cruised to victory with a comfortable double-digit margin throughout most of the fourth quarter. So a pretty impressive win here for the Atlanta Hawks. They now improved to 19-25. So that is still good for just 12th in the Eastern Conference. They really dug themselves a hole at the beginning of the season. They're still 2.5 games behind the New York Knicks in 11th, and they're 3.5 games up on the Indiana Pacers in 13th. But they are on a two-game winning streak. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've got a negative 1.1 point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings. So all indications would point to the Hawks remaining in this part of the standings going forwards, kind of sub play-in game range. But I don't know, I just have a good feeling about this team. They've won 2 games in a row, like I said, and with Onyeka Okongwu in the starting lineup, they just look really good. And with no more Cam Reddish mucking things up, I feel like this team could really go on a run here going forwards. They've got DeAndre Hunter back. I don't know if Clint Capella's return will throw a wrench into things, because he has definitely not been quite as effective this season as he was last year. And Okongwu, like I said, has been really good as a starter. So we'll see how Nate McMillan deals with their front court rotation. Like the Wizards, they kind of have a glut of guys that all deserve to be playing significant minutes. But nonetheless, as for the Minnesota Timberwolves, this loss takes them to 22-23. So that is good for 7th in the Western Conference. They are tied with the LA Lakers in 8th, so they're ahead on the tiebreaker. And then they're half a game up on the LA Clippers in 9th. And they are 2 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th. The Wolves have a plus 0.7 point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. And they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Wolves, as I mentioned, were led by D'Angelo Russell. He had a really incredible game, 31 points on 10 of 18 shooting. He was 5 of 13 from 3, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He had 4 turnovers. He was plus 3 in the plus minus. There was only 3 players on the roster for the Wolves that had positive plus minuses. It was Russell, Beverly, and then Naz Reid off the bench. So elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got a double-double from Karl-Anthony Towns, 17 points and 10 rebounds. He was 6 of 13 from the field, just 1 of 5 from 3. So you'd really like Towns to be inserting himself a bit more into the offense. Your best player probably shouldn't be fourth on the team in terms of field goal attempts, but that's just been one of Kat's downfalls throughout his career, is that he's too unselfish. He's not aggressive enough. He really needs to insert himself more because he is an incredible player. He's right up there with Nikola Jokic in terms of the best offensive big men in the league, but Towns can just be too passive at times. He just sort of floats in and out of games, whereas Jokic has really learned to like insert himself and dominate games, as we will get to later in this box score breakdown. But nonetheless, Towns also had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals and a block in this game, 4 turnovers. He was negative 12 in the plus minus. That was the starter's low. They got 20 points from the sophomore Anthony Edwards in just 24 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 5 rebounds. 10 points for Jared Vanderbilt in 21 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. He has been putting up really solid numbers throughout the box score so far this season, on a per-minute basis especially. Those defensive categories, the rebounds, he has been an absolute monster in those categories. And then Patrick Beverley, rounding out the starting lineup, played just 6 minutes before going out of this game. He did not score at all. He was 0 of 2 from the field. And off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 16 points from the aforementioned Malik Beasley. He was 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 12 from 3. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist. 9 points for Jalen Noel in 17 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds. 7 points for Naz Reid, the backup big man. He had 6 rebounds. 3 points for Josh Okogie. He was 0 of 4 from the field. 4 points for Jaden McDaniels in 17 minutes. And 5 for Torian Prince. And as for the Atlanta Hawks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Trae Young. He was incredible in this game. 37 points in 36 minutes. He was 10 of 17 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, and 11 of 11 from the free throw line. And he had 14 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal. Incredible production from Trae Young. The way he orchestrates an offense is just unparalleled. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 11 in the plus minus. So once again, another fantastic game for Trae Young. And then 22 points from DeAndre Hunter in 34 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. So he has been really impressive over the last few games. He is starting to look like the player that we saw at the beginning of last season. And then they got 17 points from Onyeka Okongwu and John Collins. Okongwu, the sophomore big man, was 5 of 8 from the field, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 5 blocks, and he was plus 20 in the plus minus. That was a team high. He really contributes to winning basketball in a big way. It sometimes doesn't show up in the box score. It definitely did this time, but nonetheless, he just is always in the right place at the right time. He's defensively very stout, despite being a little bit undersized. So another good game for Okongwu. And then John Collins with the double-double, 17 points and 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, stuffing the stat sheet. He did foul out of this game, and he was plus 5 in the plus minus. That was a starter's low. And then Kevin Huerter, rounding out the starting lineup, had 12 points in 38 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 assists, 1 rebound. And off the bench for the Hawks, they got 15 points from the veteran Danilo Gallinari in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. 7 points for Lou Williams in 15 minutes. He was just 1 of 5 from the field, though. DeLon Wright, the backup point guard, had 5 points and 3 assists. And 2 points for Kevin Knox, their recent acquisition from the New York Knicks. All right, next up, we can move on to Boston, where the Celtics were disappointingly defeated by the Charlotte Hornets, 111-102. The Hornets were led by former Celtic Terry Rozier. He was incredible, 28 points, 10 assists. He was 10 of 18 from the field. He had 6 three-pointers. And they also got 22 from Miles Bridges and a triple-double from LaMelo Ball, 15, 10, and 10. Whereas the Celtics were led by Dennis Schroeder. He had 24 points in the starting lineup, and they got 13 and 10 from Al Horford, 21 from Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum really struggled in this game, just 12 points on 5 of 19 shooting. And that was kind of the story for the Celtics. They were just not nearly efficient enough to keep up with the Hornets in this game. They were 43% from the field, 30% from three. The Hornets, on the other hand, were 48% from the field, 41% from three. So really just dominant in both of those. And then they also dominated on the rebounds, 47-38. So if not for the 17 turnovers for the Hornets, they could have potentially dominated this game even more. But in the end, they opened up a lead in the second quarter. They had outscored the Celtics 31-21 there in the second. So they had an 8-point lead heading into the second half, and then they maintained that lead basically throughout the entire second half. In fact, they actually expanded upon it a little bit in the third quarter. It was a 12-point lead heading into the fourth, and then the Celtics did go on a bit of a run there at the beginning of the fourth. Josh Richardson hit a three-pointer that cut it to six with 9:42 left on the clock, but nonetheless, the Hornets were able to stave off the comeback from the Celtics and hold on to that lead and get the victory in the end. And so a good win here for the Hornets in Boston. They now improved to 25-20 with this win, so that is good for seventh in the Eastern Conference. They're two games up now on the Wizards in eighth, but 1.5 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in sixth. And so the Hornets would really like to get out of that play-in game spot in the seventh seed, but I don't know if they're going to be able to crack that top six because they have all been really impressive so far this season. But nonetheless, the Hornets are negative 0.2 in the point differential, which is about where they should be. There's a couple teams, namely the Boston Celtics and Toronto Raptors below them, that are better, but they're on a two-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. That is really impressive. And as for the Celtics, this loss takes them to 500. They are at 23-23. So that is tied with the Toronto Raptors, although they've played four less games. They are 21-21. And they are half a game up on the New York Knicks in 11th. The Celtics are half a game behind the Washington Wizards in 8th. And they are plus 1.7 in the point differential. Like I said, that is clearly 7th best in the conference. And they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets, as I mentioned, were led by Terry Rozier against his former team. He had 28 points in 41 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3, and he had 10 assists, 4 rebounds. He was plus 14 in the plus-minus. That was a team high. Really good stuff for scary Terry Rozier. And then they also got the triple-double from LaMelo Ball, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. He wasn't super efficient, 5 of 15 from the field, but he had 3 three-pointers, 1 block. He had 8 turnovers, though. Oof. And then they also got 22 points from Miles Bridges in 34 minutes. He was pretty efficient, 9 of 17 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 12 in the plus minus. 6 points and 10 rebounds from Mason Plumlee. He did nothing else in the box score, though, and he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line. And then Gordon Hayward rounding out the starting lineup, also against his former team. Not as much of a revenge game for him. He had just 5 points in 21 minutes. He was 2 of 4 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. And off the bench for the Hornets, just 4 players saw the court. All 4 scored. They got 18 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. In 25 minutes, he was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. He has been absolutely one of the best 6 men of the year so far this season, coming off the bench for the Hornets. And then they also got 12 points from Jalen McDaniels in 19 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He had 2 blocks and 3 rebounds. And then 3 points for Cody Martin in 21 minutes. He was just 1 of 5 from the field. And just 2 points for PJ Washington. He was 1 of 4 from the field. And as for the Boston Celtics, they were led, as I mentioned, by Dennis Schroeder. He had 24 points in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. He was red hot in this game. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. But that being said, he was negative 14 in the plus minus, which was a team low. So a little bit of good, a little bit of bad with Schroeder. And then they got 21 points from Jaylen Brown in 38 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field, 2 of 11 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. 13 points and 10 rebounds for Al Horford. There is still no Robert Williams for the Celtics, so Horford getting the start at center. He was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 assists. 12 points for Jason Tatum, but he was brutal in this game. 5 of 19 from the field and 0 of 7 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then 6 points for Grant Williams, rounding out the starting lineup. In 25 minutes, he was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Off the bench for the Celtics, they got 11 points from Romeo Langford in 18 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. 10 points for Josh Richardson. He was 4 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 5 points for Ennis Freedom in 19 minutes. And Peyton Pritchard, the sophomore, was 0 of 2 from the field in 11 minutes. He did not score. All right, and next up, we can move on to Miami, where the Heat got another impressive victory, this time over the Portland Trailblazers, 104-92. The Heat were incredibly shorthanded in this game. They were basically playing without their 3 leading scorers throughout the second half. Tyler Hero was placed into the COVID health and safety protocols yesterday, so he didn't play at all. Kyle Lowry also did not play at all due to personal reasons. And then Jimmy Butler played just 15 minutes before getting ejected. So the Heat were without 3 of their 4 best players throughout the entire second half, and they still won this game thanks to 26 points points off the bench from Caleb Martin. He was just red hot, 8 of 12 from the field. They also got 15 off the bench from Max Strus. And then Bam Adebayo really stepped up in the starting lineup. He had 20 points and 11 rebounds. So a really tough, gritty win here for the Miami Heat. Whereas the Portland Trailblazers, who are also still very shorthanded, to be fair, they're obviously still missing Damian Lillard and Larry Nance Jr., so they were led in this game by Anthony Simons. He had 27 points, 6 three-pointers, and they also got 24 from CJ McCollum and a big double-double from Yusuf Nurkic, 18 and 14. But unfortunately for the Trailblazers, they were just outplayed in the end. In the fourth quarter specifically, the Heat started to pull away about midway through the fourth. CJ McCollum hit a 12-footer with 6:57 left on the clock that tied the game up. It was 87 all. And then from there on out, the Heat outscored the Blazers 17-5. Portland just totally fell apart. In the end, they shot just 30% from three and 40% from the field, whereas the Heat were pretty efficient, 46% from the field and 34% from three. And the Blazers turned the ball over 18 times. That is way too many. So a good win here for the shorthanded Miami Heat. And with this win, they now improved to 29-16. So they're still incredibly tied for first in the Eastern Conference with the Chicago Bulls. Well, technically they're in second, but they're just a couple of percentage points behind the Bulls, who are 28-15, and they are both half a game up on the Brooklyn Nets in third. The Heat are plus 4.6 in the point differential. That is second best in the East, just behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're on a two-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. Incredible run here for the Miami Heat. Whereas the Portland Trailblazers, with this loss, now fall to 18-26. So that is still good for 10th in the Western Conference. They are 1.5 games up still on the Sacramento Kings in 11th, and they're 3 games behind the LA Clippers in 9th. And the Blazers are -4 in the point differential. That is disappointingly 4th worst in the conference, and they are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Blazers, as I mentioned, were led by Anthony Simons. Another really solid game for him. He had 27 points in 38 minutes. He was 9 of 18 from the field, 6 of 14 from 3, and he had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And 24 points for CJ McCollum in 33 minutes. He was 10 of 20 from the field and 4 of 9 from 3. So really solid shooting from those two, McCollum and Simons. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And they were both tied for the team high in terms of the plus-minus, plus 6. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got double-doubles from Robert Covington and Yusuf Nurkic. Nurkic had the big 18 and 14 in 28 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then 11 points and 12 rebounds from Robert Covington. He was not super efficient in this game, 3 of 11 from the field, but all of his makes came from beyond the arc, and he had 1 block. And then Nasir Little, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 of 4 from the field in 12 minutes. And off the bench for the Blazers, they got 5 points from Dennis Smith Jr., the backup point guard, in 13 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field, but he was negative 22 in the plus-minus. That was nearly the team low, if not for Ben McLemore, who was negative 24, and he was brutal in this game, 0 of 7 from the field in 20 minutes. And then they got 2 points from CJ Ellaby in 18 minutes, 3 from Tony Snell, and 2 from Trendon Watford. And as for the Heat, they were led, as I mentioned, by Caleb Martin off the bench. He had 26 points in 32 minutes. He was 8 of 12 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Incredible scoring from Martin. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 15 in the plus minus. And then they also got a double-double from Bam Adebayo in the starting lineup. 20 points and 11 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was really efficient. 8 of 12 from the field. He had 4 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. Fantastic production across the board from Adebayo in just his second game back from injury. And then they got 11 points from Gabe Vincent in 37 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And he was plus 14 in the plus minus. That was by far the starter's high. 9 points for Duncan Robinson. He was 3 of 8 from 3. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. 4 points for Jimmy Butler only in his 15 minutes on the court before getting ejected. He was 1 of 4 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists in that time. And 2 points for PJ Tucker. He was ice cold, 1 of 6 from the field in this game. He did have 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, though. And off the bench for the Heat, besides Caleb Martin, they also got 15 points from Max Strus in 32 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He was 4 of 8 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was a team high, plus 22 in the plus minus. 12 points for the backup big man, Dwayne Dedmon. In 15 minutes, he was 5 of 6 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And 5 points for Kyle Guy in 18 minutes. The recent acquisition was 2 of 8 from the field. Omer Yurtseven and Chris Silva saw the court very briefly but did not score. All right, next we can move on to Chicago, where the Bulls defeated the Cavaliers 117-104. Prior to this game, the Bulls were on a 4-game losing streak and the Cavs were on a 5-game winning streak. But that all came to an end in this one. The Bulls were led by DeMar DeRozan. He had 30 points, and they also got 24-12 from Nikola Vucevic and 18 points from the rookie Io Desunmu, still in the starting lineup. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Lauri Markkanen. He had 28 points, and they got 20-12 from Darius Garland and 18 points from their rookie Evan Mobley. So this was a commanding victory for the Bulls. They started to pull away at the end of the second quarter. They outscored the Cavaliers 34-20 in the second, and so they were leading by 9 heading into the second half, and then they pretty much just maintained that lead throughout the entire second half. It waxed and waned just a little bit. The Cavaliers went on a little bit of a run in the middle of the third and then in the middle of the fourth, but both times the Bulls had an answer. They reestablished a double-digit lead by the end of the third, and then of course by the end of the fourth as well, and so a really good win here for the Bulls. Nikola Vucevic had a clutch three-pointer with 49 seconds to go that pretty much sealed the deal, putting the Bulls up by 13, 117-104. And that was kind of emblematic of the Bulls' hot shooting throughout this game. They were really red hot, 54% from the field, 45% from three, and they only turned the ball over 10 times, whereas the Cavs were 51% from the field. That's not bad at all, but they were just 33% from three, and they had 15 turnovers. So considering those disparities, it's not surprising in the end that the Bulls comfortably won this game, and with this win, they now improved to 28-15, so they remain at the top of the Eastern Conference. Like I said before, they are just ahead of the Miami Heat in second by a couple of percentage points, and they're half a game up on the Brooklyn Nets in third. And the Bulls are plus 2.4 in the point differential, which is tied for fourth best in the East. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They desperately needed this win. And as for the Cleveland Cavaliers, this loss takes them to 27-19. So they're still in sixth in the East. They are just behind the Philadelphia 76ers and 1.5 games up on the Charlotte Hornets in seventh. And the Cavs are plus 4.7 in the point differential. That is still best in the Eastern Conference. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Cavaliers, as I mentioned, were led by Lauri Markkanen. In 33 minutes, he had 28 points on 9 of 14 shooting. He was 5 of 9 from 3, so incredible efficiency for Markkanen. He had 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block in that time. He was negative 12, though, in the plus-minus. That was a team low, along with Isaac Okoro. He had 8 points in 30 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 3 assists. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, a big double-double from Darius Garland, 20 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds. He was 9 of 18 from the field, just 1 of 6 from 3, and he had 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, really solid double-double for Garland. He has been racking up a ton of assists recently. They also got 18 from the rookie Evan Mobley in 31 minutes. He was very efficient, 8 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and he was plus 5 in the plus minus. He was the only starter to be positive. In fact, he was the only player on the entire Cavs roster, including all 7 guys off the bench, to be positive in the plus minus. Incredible for a rookie. There have been other rookies who have been putting up decent stats like Franz Wagner and Scotty Barnes and Cade Cunningham, but in my opinion, Evan Mobley has far and away been the rookie of the year so far. He is just contributing to winning basketball like nobody else in this rookie class, and he's also putting up the stats to match as well. So incredible stuff for Mobley once again. And then Jared Allen, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points in 36 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Cavs, they got 13 from the veteran big man Kevin Love. In 21 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 4 assists. They also got 5 points from Dylan Windler in 17 minutes, 4 for Brandon Goodwin, and 2 for Jetty Osman. He was 1 of 5 from the field. And as for the Chicago Bulls, they were led by DeMar DeRozan, 30 points in 36 minutes. He was 14 of 24 from the field, didn't attempt a three-pointer at all. He was just 2 of 5 from the free throw line, but nonetheless, the overall efficiency was really solid for DeRozan, and he had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He was plus 10 in the plus-minus. They also got 24 points from Nikola Vucevic in 37 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field. He had 2 threes, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. 18 for the rookie, Io Desunmu, another really impressive rookie here. He was 7 of 8 from the field in this game and 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. He has not quite been on Mobley's level this season, but he has nonetheless been very solid for the Bulls when he has gotten the playing time. It's just that his minutes have been a bit up and down this season, but on a per-minute basis, he has absolutely been one of the 10 best rookies this season. He had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. And then they got 16 points from Kobe White. In 38 minutes, he was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and just 2 points for Alphonso McKinney in 5 minutes only. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got Alex Caruso back. He had 9 points in 23 minutes. This was his first game since December 20th, and he wasn't super efficient, 2 of 8 from the field, but he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and he was a team-high plus 18 in the plus-minus. So still bringing that tenacious defense despite the minutes limit. Good to see him back on the court for the Bulls. And then they also got 8 points from Matt Thomas in 24 minutes, 4 points from Tony Bradley, the backup big man, and 6 points from Troy Brown Jr. in 26 minutes. He had 6 rebounds as well. All right, and next up we can move on to Milwaukee, where the Bucks defeated the Memphis Grizzlies, 126-114. The Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 33 points and 15 rebounds, and they also got 27 from Chris Middleton. He was very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field. Whereas the Grizzlies were led by who else but Ja Morant. He had 33 points and 14 assists in 39 minutes, and they also got 29 from Jaren Jackson Jr. Unfortunately, both teams were a bit shorthanded. There was, of course, no Brook Lopez for the Bucks, and then Jrue Holiday was limited to 22 minutes off the bench. The Grizzlies were missing Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks still. And in the end, the Grizzlies were just not able to keep up offensively with the Bucks. The Bucks were 47% from the field and 35% from three. They were quite efficient in this game. Whereas the Grizzlies were just 41% from the field, 22% from three. They were definitely missing Desmond Bane's efficient offense. They were outscored quite significantly in the first half. It was 36-30 after the first quarter, and then the Grizz were outscored 25-17 in the second. So it was a double-digit lead for the Bucks heading into the second half, and then they maintained that lead throughout most of the third quarter, and then the fourth as well. Finally, at the end of the fourth, the Grizzlies went on a run. The Bucks kind of stagnated late in the fourth with just a couple of minutes to go. They had cut the deficit all the way to 4 points with 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go after a two-pointer from Ja Morant. It was 114-111. But then, unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they just weren't able to complete the comeback. The Bucks showed fantastic resilience. Specifically, Giannis Antetokounmpo took over late. He had like 3 consecutive buckets that helped the Bucks secure this victory. And so with this win, Milwaukee now improves to 28-19. So they are in fourth right now in the Eastern Conference, 1.5 games behind the Brooklyn Nets in third, 2 games off the top spot, the Chicago Bulls, and just 0.5 game up on the Sixers and Cavs in fifth and sixth. The Bucks are plus 3.9 in the point differential, which is third best in the conference, but they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Memphis Grizzlies, this loss takes them to 31-16. So they're still in third in the Western Conference, 2.5 games behind the Warriors in second, and 1 game up on the Utah Jazz in fourth. The Grizzlies are plus 3.6 in the point differential, which is fourth best in the conference, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Grizzlies, as I mentioned, were led by Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. They were both incredible in this game. Morant had 33 points and 14 assists in 39 minutes. He was 12 of 27 from the field, so not the most efficient night, but he was 4 of 10 from 3 and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. And he had 8 rebounds as well. No steals or blocks, just 1 turnover, though. He was exactly 0 in the plus-minus. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. had 29 points in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, and he had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 blocks. He has been racking up a ton of blocks lately, and he was negative 17, though, in the plus-minus. He had 4 turnovers and 5 fouls. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got 10 points from the rookie, Zaire Williams, in 33 minutes. He has been starting for quite some time now, but he just doesn't really rack up too many box score stats. He was 4 of 11 from the field in this game. He had 1 3-pointer, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. 6 points for John Conchar in 32 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts in this game. He was by far the team low, negative 23 in the plus minus, but he did kind of stuff the stat sheet. 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And then Steven Adams, the big man rounding out the starting lineup, had 4 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And off the bench for the Grizzlies, they got 14 points from the backup big man, Brandon Clark. He was really solid in this game. 6 of 9 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then they got 6 points from Santi Aldama in 13 minutes, 5 for De'Anthony Melton and Jarrett Culver. They were a combined 4 of 15 from the field, though. Really poor shooting from Melton and Culver. And then 2 points for the other backup big man, Xavier Tillman. And as for the Bucks, they were led by who else but Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 33 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. An incredible line for Giannis. He was 12 of 25 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Really incredible production across the board from Giannis. Now, he did foul out of this game, and he had 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 10 in the plus minus. Really incredible stuff for the 2-time MVP. And then they also got 27 points from Chris Middleton in 36 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field. He was only 1 of 6 from 3, but he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds and 7 assists. And they also got 14 points from Bobby Portis and George Hill. Portis was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And George Hill was the team high, plus 16 in the plus minus. To go along with his 14 points, he had 6 rebounds and 6 assists with 1 steal. And then Grayson Allen, rounding out the starting lineup, had 9 points in 26 minutes. He had 1 3 and 3 rebounds. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 13 points from Pat Connaughton. He was 5 of 9 from the field in 26 minutes. He had 3 three-pointers and 4 rebounds. 9 points for Jrue Holiday in just 22 minutes off the bench. This was his first game in like 2 weeks. Obviously still working his way back from that ankle injury, but he was pretty productive while he was on the court. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, but not super efficient, just 2 of 8 from the field. And then 7 points for Wesley Matthews in 19 minutes, and Dante DiVincenzo was 0 of 5 from the field while he was on the court. He did not score at all. All right, next we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks just edged past the Toronto Raptors, 102-98. Another incredible performance from Luka Doncic. He had 41 points in this game, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. Just another fantastic game here. There was a ton of incredible lines across the NBA tonight. He had 4 three-pointers as well. And then they got 18 points from Kristaps Porzingis and 16 off the bench from Tim Hardaway Jr. Whereas the Raptors were led by Pascal Siakam, he had 20 points, and then they got double-digit scoring from all 4 of the other starters, as well as Chris Boucher off the bench. And once again, Nick Nurse going with a 7-man rotation, just Boucher and Justin Champagne seeing the court off the bench. And in the end, the Raptors were just not quite good enough to keep up with the Mavericks late. It was really close down the stretch, though. The Mavericks were leading in the third quarter. They had nearly a double-digit lead at one point in the third. It was a 76-67 advantage with 3:51 left to go in the third after Jalen Brunson hit a driving floating jump shot. But then the Raptors came back mainly in the fourth quarter. They outscored the Mavericks 22-19 in that quarter, and it was really close down the stretch. Luka Doncic ultimately helped the Mavs pull away, though. He hit a clutch three-pointer with 101 left on the clock that put the Mavs up by 4. It was 100-96. So the Mavericks getting another impressive victory here in Dallas. They were pretty sloppy with the ball. They had 18 turnovers, and they only shot 27% from 3, but they were much more efficient from the field overall than the Raptors. 48% shooting for Dallas, 38% shooting for the Raptors. So with this win, the Mavs now improved to 26-19. So that is good for 5th in the Western Conference. They're now 2 games up on the Denver Nuggets in 6th, and 3 games behind the Utah Jazz in 4th. And the Mavs are incredibly 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they're on a 4-game winning streak. Their plus 2.8 point differential is clearly 5th best in the conference. So a really impressive run here for Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks. Whereas the Raptors, with this loss, now fall to 21-21. So they are at 500 in the middle of the Eastern Conference. They're in 10th right now, just behind the Boston Celtics, who are also at 500. They're 23-23, and they're half a game behind the Washington Wizards in 8th. The Raps are half a game up on the New York Knicks in 11th, and they are plus 0.8 in the point differential, which is 8th best in the conference, but they're on a 2-game losing streak. But they are 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Raptors, as I mentioned, were led by Pascal Siakam. In 44 minutes in the starting lineup, he had 20 points on 7 of 18 shooting. He was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. They also got 19 points from OG Anunoby in 43 minutes. He was 8 of 16 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. 18 points and 12 assists for Fred VanVleet. It looks like a decent line at first glance, but he was 4 of 20 from the field. But he had 3 threes, and he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. That really salvaged his efficiency just a little bit. He had 2 rebounds as well. And then 12 points for Precious Achiuwa. In 33 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. And 11 points for the rookie Scotty Barnes in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for Toronto, like I said, just 2 players saw the court, Chris Boucher and Justin Champagne. Boucher had a double-double, 15 points and 12 rebounds. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes and 3 steals. And 3 points for Justin Champagne in 16 minutes. He was just 1 of 4 from the field. And as for the Dallas Mavericks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Luka Doncic. An incredible night once again. 41 points in 42 minutes. He was 13 of 24 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Incredible efficiency, and the 14 rebounds, the 7 assists, and the 1 steal as well. He had 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 7 in the plus minus, and that was a team high. Another fantastic night for Luka Doncic. And then they also got 18 points from Kristaps Porzingis in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. line, and he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He had 5 turnovers, so Luka and KP combining for 9 turnovers is way too many, but they also combined for 19 of 20 from the free throw line, so you'll definitely take the bad with the good with those two. And then they also got 9 points from Dorian Finney-Smith in 35 minutes. He had 1 3-pointer, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 8 points for Jalen Brunson in 33 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field as well. And then Maxi Kleba, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 of 3 from the field in 25 minutes. And off the bench for the Mavs, they got 16 points from Tim Hardaway Jr. He was incredibly efficient in this game, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds. They got 3 points from Reggie Bullock in 18 minutes. He was just 1 of 4 from the field, though. And 2 points from Dwight Powell, the backup big man. 5 points for Josh Green. He was perfect, 2 of 2 from the field. All right, and next up, we can move on to San Antonio, where the Spurs easily defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder, 118-96. The Spurs were led by DeJounte Murray in all 3 categories. He had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists, another triple-double for DeJounte Murray, and he had 3 steals as well, and he was 11 of 20 from the field. And then they also got 20 points from Doug McDermott. He had 6 three-pointers, and 19 points for Devin Vassell off the bench. He was 7 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3. Whereas the Thunder were led by Aaron Wiggins in the starting lineup. He was on fire in this game. He was 8 of 11 from the field for 19 points. Unfortunately for the Thunder, though, the rest of the starters were brutal in this game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was 5 of 21 from the field. He had 13 points. Lu Dort was 4 of 13. He had 15. And then Josh Giddey was 4 of 16 from the field. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl was 1 of 4. So the rest of the starters, atrocious for the Thunder. It was really Aaron Wiggins and then the bench carrying the team in this game. But unfortunately, it was not nearly enough for the Thunder. They were totally dominated by the Spurs in this game. They were outscored in the first 3 quarters of this game, 32-22 in the first, 37-29 in the second, and then 37-27 in the third. So it was a blowout by the fourth quarter, a 29-point advantage for the Spurs. And they only managed to score 12 points in the fourth quarter, but the Thunder only managed 18 points. And so they chipped away at the lead just a little bit, but it was basically garbage time throughout the fourth. So a good convincing win here for the San Antonio Spurs. And unsurprisingly, they shot very efficiently, 49% from the field and 37% from 3, and they were very tidy with the ball, just 9 turnovers. So a nice win here for the Spurs over the lowly Oklahoma City Thunder. The Spurs now improved to 17-28 with this win, so they are still in 12th in the Western Conference, but they are just behind the Sacramento Kings in 11th. Both of those teams are 18 games off the top spot in the West, and they are both 1.5 games behind the Portland Trailblazers in 10th. And the Spurs are half a game up on the Pelicans now in 13th. They are negative 0.3 in the point differential, which is actually better than the 4 teams ahead of them, but they're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Oklahoma City Thunder, this loss takes them to 14-30. So that is good for 14th in the Western Conference. They are 1 game up on the Houston Rockets in last, and they are 2 games behind the New Orleans Pelicans in 13th. And the Thunder are negative 7.1 in the point differential. That is 2nd worst in the West. They're on a 3-game losing streak, and they are 2-8 in their last 10 games. That is the worst stretch over the last 10 games of any team in the West. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Thunder were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Aaron Wiggins. In 35 minutes in the starting lineup, he had 19 points on 8 of 11 shooting. He was really efficient in this game. He had 1 three-pointer, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 block, and 8 rebounds. He did have 3 turnovers, and he was negative 15 in the plus-minus. But nonetheless, really solid performance here for Wiggins. He was by far the only starter to have a decent line. The rest of the starters really struggled in this game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 13 points on 5 of 21 shooting. He was 0 of 4 from 3. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. He has really been struggling lately. He has had a couple of bad games over the past couple of weeks. He was negative 25 in this one. That was by far the team low. And then they got 15 from Lu Dort, but he was just 4 of 13 from the field. He was at least 3 of 6 from 3, though. He had 2 rebounds. 9 points for the other rookie, Josh Giddey, in 33 minutes. He was 4 of 16 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, but he did have 11 rebounds and 8 assists, 4 turnovers. And then Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, rounding out the starting lineup, the other rookie, he had 3 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 1 of 4 from the field. And then off the bench for the Thunder, they got 10 points from Ty Jerome. He was 4 of 10 from the field. They got 7 points from Trey Mann in 16 minutes. He was 3 of 7. 6 points for Mike Muscala in 6 minutes. 6 points as well for Darius Bazley. And then 8 points for Mamadi Diakite in 19 minutes. He was actually pretty efficient as well. He was 4 of 6 from the field. Diakite and Muscala were decent off the bench to go along with Aaron Wiggins. Pretty much everybody else on the roster was quite inefficient. And as for the Spurs, they were led, as I mentioned, by DeJounte Murray. Another triple-double in 30 minutes. He had 23 points on 11 of 20 shooting. He was 1 of 6 from 3, but he had 14 assists, 10 rebounds, 3 steals. He was plus 19 in the plus-minus. Another really solid game for Murray, especially from a fantasy perspective. He has just been one of the best players in the entire NBA this season, quite frankly. And then they also got 20 points from Doug McDermott in just 21 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field and 6 of 9 from 3. He hasn't exactly been doing this kind of thing on a regular basis for the Spurs. He obviously came to San Antonio as a three-point specialist, and he is shooting the ball quite well from beyond the arc, 42% so far this season, but he's just not getting enough attempts up. He's shooting 5 three-pointers per game, which is a career high for him, but nonetheless, he could probably be shooting even more than that considering his incredible efficiency. So anyways, 6 threes for Doug McDermott in this game was really solid. And then they also got 13 points from Keldon Johnson in 23 minutes. He was 5 of 7 from the field in this game, 3 of 5 from 3. He's actually also a very efficient three-point shooter himself. He had 1 rebound, 1 block. And then they got 13 points from Jakob Poeltl in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks, stuffing the stat sheet there, Poeltl. And then 11 points for Derek White in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks. He was a team-high plus 33 in the plus-minus. And off the bench for the Spurs, they got 19 points from the sophomore Devin Vassell. In 23 minutes, he was 7 of 10 from the field and 4 of 5 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Really solid production from Vassell off the bench. And then they got 6 points from Drew Eubanks, the backup big man, in 11 minutes. He had 5 rebounds. 4 points for Keita Bates-Diop in 19 minutes, 5 for Trey Jones, the sophomore point guard, 3 for Lonnie Walker, although he was just 1 of 9 from the field, and then Thaddeus Young had 1 point in 11 minutes. He was 0 of 2 from the field, and I'd be really interested to see if Young eventually got traded, because they recently traded another veteran in Bryn Forbes, and Thaddeus Young seems like he could definitely help a contending team, but he hasn't really done much for the Spurs off the bench this season, but he was fantastic for the Bulls off the bench last season. He was one of the contenders for Sixth Man of the Year, but he's just been sort of languishing in San Antonio. And I think they could probably get, at the very least, a second-round pick for him. So I think the Spurs should probably consider trading Thaddeus Young before the trade deadline. All right, moving on to Utah, where the Jazz were defeated by the Houston Rockets, 116-111. An incredible upset. The Rockets were led by Garrison Matthews off the bench. He had 23 points, and they also got 18 from Jayshon Tate in the starting lineup and a double-double from Christian Wood, 13 and 15. Whereas the Jazz were led by Bojan Bogdanovic. He had 29 points, and they got 23 from Rudy Gobert, 17 from Mike Conley. They are still missing Donovan Mitchell, though, and so they were really struggling offensively. They could hardly keep up with the Rockets. They were 47% from the field, but they were just 26% from three. That is really uncharacteristically bad for the Jazz, whereas the Rockets were just on fire from beyond the arc. They were 48%, and surprisingly, the Rockets were very tidy with the ball, only 9 turnovers. The Jazz also had 9 turnovers, but Houston is the number one team in the league this year in terms of turnovers. They're averaging like 17 a game, so this was a really encouraging game for them and an encouraging sign with the 9 turnovers, and they just controlled this game late. It was actually back and forth throughout. The Rockets were leading early on, but then the Jazz took the lead in the second quarter. They outscored the Rockets 35-21 in the second, but then Houston came storming back in the third quarter after being down by double digits. They ended up tying the game and actually taking the lead, and then they led throughout the majority of the fourth quarter, but the Jazz were always within striking distance. It was about a 5-point game throughout most of the fourth quarter. The Rockets actually stagnated at the end of the fourth and allowed the Jazz to get back to within a couple of points. Bojan Bogdanovic hit a 3-pointer with 2 minutes to go that cut the deficit to 2. It was 104-106, but then the Rockets eventually pulled away once again. Kevin Porter Jr. hit a clutch 3-pointer with 22 seconds to go. That one put the Rockets up by 5, 114-109. So a really nice victory here for the Houston Rockets, who are still at the bottom of the Western Conference, but this win takes them to 14-32. So they are just one game behind the OKC Thunder in 14th. They are 21.5 games off the top spot in the West. They have a negative 8-point differential, which is worst in the conference. They're on a 2-game winning streak, though, and they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Jazz, this loss takes them to 29-16. So they are still in 4th in the Western Conference. They're 1 game behind the Grizzlies in 3rd, and they're 3 games up on the Mavs in 5th. And the Jazz are still plus 7.3 in the point differential. That is still 3rd best in the NBA, but they're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're very disappointingly 3-7 in their last 10 games. That is really not a good sign for the Jazz. They have been struggling mightily without Donovan Mitchell. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Rockets, as I mentioned, were led by Garrison Matthews off the bench. He has just been a revelation for Houston this season. He had 23 points in this game. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 5 of 9 specifically from 3, and he was 8 of 10 from the free throw line, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He was plus 22 in the plus-minus, which was a team high. Just a fantastic season continuing here for Garrison Matthews. And then in terms of the starters, they were led by Jayshon Tate, the sophomore. He had 18 points in 26 minutes. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they also got a double-double from Christian Wood, 13 points and 15 rebounds. He was only 5 of 12 from the field, though, but he had 3 threes and 4 assists. And then 16 points for Eric Gordon in 35 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes and 3 rebounds. 15 for Kevin Porter Jr., including that clutch 3-pointer late. He was 6 of 12 from the field overall. He had 8 assists and 1 rebound. And Jalen Green, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 7 points. He was not very efficient in this one. 3 of 13 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. And off the bench for the Rockets, besides Garrison Matthews, they also got 9 points from Armani Brooks in 13 minutes. He was plus 20 in the plus minus, and he had 3 three-pointers and 3 rebounds. 7 points from the other rookie, Alperen Şengün, in 16 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 6 points for the other rookie, Josh Christopher, in 17 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds. And 2 points for Kenyon Martin Jr. He was just 1 of 5 from the field. And as for the Utah Jazz, with no Donovan Mitchell, they were led by Bojan Bogdanović. He had 29 points in 37 minutes. He was 11 of 27 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. They got 23 points from Rudy Gobert. He was 9 of 13 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So stuffing the stat sheet there, Gobert. And then they got 17 points from the point guard, Mike Conley, in 34 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Joe Ingles in the starting lineup in place of Mitchell. He had 10 points in 31 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And Royce O'Neal rounding out the starting lineup. He did not score very efficiently, 1 of 5 from the field for 3 points, but he had 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And off the bench for the Jazz, they got 19 points from Jordan Clarkson. In 29 minutes, he was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, although he was negative 15 in the plus-minus. That was by far the team low. And then they got 4 points from Daniel House as well as Trent Forrest, and 2 points from Udoka Azubuike, the backup big man. All right, next up we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets defeated the LA Clippers 130-128. The Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP, had an incredible performance. Like I mentioned before, I thought Joel Embiid's 50-point double-double was going to be the high watermark of this night of NBA basketball, but then Nikola Jokic comes in and scores 49 with a triple-double, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, and he was incredibly efficient as well, 16 of 25 from the field, 14 of 16 from the free throw line. He had 3 three-pointers as well. It is just impossible to overstate how good this guy is. He is very likely in contention for another MVP this season. And then they also got 28 points from Aaron Gordon, including a tie-breaking 3-pointer with just 1.9 seconds to go in overtime. And then they got 19 points from Monty Morris. Whereas the Clippers were led by Ivica Zubac, the big man, trying his best to match Nikola Jokic. He didn't come close in the end, but he had a really solid game in the process. He had 32 points and 10 rebounds. And then they got 28 and 12 from Reggie Jackson. So obviously this was an exciting game down the stretch. It went to overtime, and then like I said, Aaron Gordon ultimately had the clutch three-pointer at the end of overtime to help the Nuggets secure the victory. And then at the end of regulation, it was Reggie Jackson who hit a 6-foot driving floating jump shot for the Clippers that put them up 114-112 with 38 seconds to go. But then Will Barton responded with a clutch layup himself. That one was with 26 seconds to go off of a Nikola Jokic assist, and that one tied the game up 114-all. So we went to overtime, and then ultimately the Nuggets just prevailed in the end. And that comes despite the fact that they were actually worse than the Clippers from the field and from three. LA was very efficient, 53% from the field overall and 38% from three. They are a fantastic three-point shooting team, and that was on full display in this game, whereas the Nuggets were just 49% from the field and 34% from three. So that's not bad at all, but not quite as good as the Clippers. But the Nuggets only had 12 turnovers, whereas the Clips had 14. So a good win here, a gritty win in overtime for the Nuggets, and they now improve to 23-20 with this win. So an incredibly impressive season, all things considered, for the Nuggets, with two of their top three guys in Jamal Murray and MPJ both essentially being out for the season. And so they are in sixth right now in the Western Conference. They are 2 games behind the Mavs in fifth and 2 games up on the Minnesota Timberwolves in seventh. And the Nuggets are plus 1.1 in the point differential. That is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. And they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the LA Clippers, this loss takes them to 22-24. So they are in ninth right now in the Western Conference. They are half a game behind the Lakers and Timberwolves in seventh and eighth, and they're three games up on the Trailblazers in 10th. The Clippers are negative 1.1 in the point differential, which is better than the Lakers ahead of them, but they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Clips, as I mentioned, were led by the big man, Ivica Zubac. He had 32 points and 10 rebounds, one of his better games of the season thus far, frankly, in his entire career. He was 15 of 19 from the field. That is fantastic, and he had 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He was negative 17 in the plus-minus, but nonetheless, the big double-double, 32 and 10, is really good stuff for Zubac. And then they also got a double-double from Reggie Jackson, 28 points and 12 assists. He had 3 rebounds, 3 three-pointers. He was 12 of 22 from the field. They got just 8 points from Amir Coffey in 31 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then just 7 points from the other two starters, Terrence Mann and Serge Ibaka. Mann, in 39 minutes, was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And Ibaka was also 3 of 6 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench for the Clippers, they got 16 points from Brandon Boston Jr., the rookie. He was 6 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 16 in the plus-minus. That was a team high. Really nice production once again for Brandon Boston Jr. He has been one of the steals of the draft this year. And then they got 13 points from Eric Bledsoe in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 7 points for Luke Kennard in 27 minutes. He was just 2 of 9 from the field, though. 6 points for Justice Winslow in 14 minutes, and 4 for Isaiah Hartenstein, the backup big man. And as for the Denver Nuggets, they were led by Nikola Jokic. A fantastic performance. 49 points in 41 minutes. 16 of 25 from the field. 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. 14 of 16 from the free throw line. Aaron Gordon had been complaining after their last game about Jokic not getting to the free throw line enough. Well, he certainly did in this game. And then he also had 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, and a block. He is a lock for standout line of the night. He was just incredible in this game. He was plus 15 in the plus minus. Just fantastic stuff for the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. And then they also got 28 points from Aaron Gordon in 44 minutes. He was very efficient as well. 10 of 16 from the field and 4 of 7 from 3, including the clutch three-pointer late in this game. And he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. They got 19 points from Monty Morris in 45 minutes in the starting lineup. The point guard was 9 of 20 from the field. He missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts, but he had 9 rebounds and 9 assists with 2 steals. Really solid production from Morris. And then they got 12 points from Jeff Green in 33 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And Will Barton, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 7 points in 41 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. And off the bench for Denver, they got 5 points from Zeke Nagy, the backup big man. He was negative 16 in the plus-minus, though. That was a team low, but he was 2 of 2 from the field. And 6 points from Bones Highland, the rookie. In 15 minutes, he was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And then 4 points from Devon Reed in 18 minutes. Austin Rivers was 0 of 3 from the field, and Facundo Campazzo was 0 of 5. Neither of them scored. All right, next up we can move on to Sacramento, where the Kings were just edged by the Detroit Pistons, 133-131. The Pistons were led by Sadiq Bey. He had 30 points in the starting lineup, and then they also got 22 points in just 22 minutes from Kelly Olynyk off the bench making his return, and then they got 19 from Corey Joseph, also in the starting lineup, and he had the game winner at the end of the fourth quarter. Whereas the Kings were led by Terrence Davis, he had a career-high 35 points, including 7 three-pointers. He was just on fire in this game. And then they got 27 from De'Aaron Fox and 20 from Harrison Barnes. But unfortunately for the Kings, like I mentioned, Corey Joseph just had the dagger late in this game. It was back and forth throughout most of the fourth quarter. The Kings were actually leading with about 3 minutes to go after Terrence Davis hit a three-pointer with 3:03 left on the clock. It was a 10-point game. The Kings were up 130-120. But then the Pistons just executed an incredible comeback. They scored 11 points in a row, including that 14-footer from Corey Joseph with 26 seconds left on the clock. And that was ultimately the go-ahead bucket that put the Pistons up 133-131. That was the final scoreline, as neither team scored throughout the rest of the game. So an incredible comeback from the Detroit Pistons, who have been really plucky recently. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, and they shot pretty well in this game, 50% from the field, 41% from three, and they only had 9 turnovers, which is really impressive for such a young team. The Kings were actually even better. They were 52% from the field and 44% from three, and they only had 7 turnovers. So the Kings actually played an incredible game, but they were just edged in the end by the Pistons, and I guess you could point to the defense as the primary culprit for the Kings, allowing the second worst team in the league. 133 points is definitely not a good look on your home court. And so with this loss, the Kings now fall to 18-29. So they are in 11th right now in the West. They are just ahead of the San Antonio Spurs by a couple of percentage points. They're half a game up on the New Orleans Pelicans in 13th, and they are 1.5 games behind the Portland Trailblazers in 10th. And the Kings are at negative 3.9 in the point differential, which puts them exactly where they should be in the standings. It is worse than the Spurs below them, but better than the Trailblazers ahead of them. They're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Detroit Pistons, this win takes them to 11-33. So they are in second to last in the Eastern Conference still. They are a whole 4 games up now on the Orlando Magic in last, and they are just 4.5 games behind the Indiana Pacers in 13th. And the Pistons are negative 9.7 still, though, in the point differential. That is worst in the NBA. They are 5-5, though, in their last 10, like I said. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Pistons, as I mentioned, were led by Sadiq Bey. He had 30 points in 34 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field. He had 5 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. So a really solid game here once again for the sophomore, Sadiq Bey. He has just been fantastic over the past month or so. And then they also got 19 points from Corey Joseph in the starting lineup as Killian Hayes went down injured in the last game. So Joseph was in the starting lineup this time. And in 37 minutes, he was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and he was plus 16 in the plus minus. That was a starter's high. And then they also got 13 points from Cade Cunningham, the rookie, but he fouled out of this game after just 21 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 1 rebound, and that was it in the box score. Pretty disappointing game for Cade here. He was negative 24 in the plus minus, which was a team low. Then they got 9 points from Hamidou Diallo in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 7 points for the other sophomore, Isaiah Stewart. In 21 minutes, the big man had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. And off the bench for the Pistons, Kelly Olynyk made his return. This was his first game since like November 10th. He had been out for quite some time due to that knee injury, and so this was just his 11th game of the season thus far, but he did not show any signs of rust at all. He was fantastic to close the season last year for the Houston Rockets, and he has been fantastic for the Pistons as well. He had 22 points in this game in just 22 minutes. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. So the Pistons have been playing very well recently, and Olynyk's return will only continue to help them going forwards. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or not, considering that they probably want to get another pretty high draft pick again, but nonetheless, Olynyk is absolutely contributing to winning basketball right now. He was plus 27 in the plus minus. Fantastic stuff for him. They could potentially move him at the trade deadline if necessary, as I'm sure a contending team would like to have him on their bench. And then they also got 15 points from Rodney Magruder. He led the team in scoring in their last game, and he had 15 in this one in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 20 in the plus minus. And then they got 9 points from Trey Lyles in 19 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 7 points from Josh Jackson in 20 minutes, and 2 points for Saben Lee, the sophomore, in 7 minutes. So Dwayne Casey's Detroit Pistons looking much more respectable lately. And as for the Sacramento Kings, they were led by Terrence Davis in 38 minutes. He had 35 points. He was incredible, a career high. He had 7 three-pointers. He was 11 of 23 from the field overall. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He is surprisingly having a really good season for the Kings this year. He's been one of the sole bright spots for Sacramento. And then they also got 27 points in this game from De'Aaron Fox. In 37 minutes, he was 10 of 20 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. They also got 20 points from Harrison Barnes. In 34 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field, 11 of 14 from the free throw line, and he had 2 rebounds. That was it in terms of the box score. 17 for Marvin Bagley. In 25 minutes, he was 7 of 9 from the field, and he had 9 rebounds. And 10 points for Rashawn Holmes, the big man, in 28 minutes was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 13 points from Davion Mitchell, the rookie. In 24 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes and 4 assists. 4 points for Damian Jones in 15 minutes, 3 for Chimezie Metu, and 2 for Buddy Hield. He was 0 of 2 from the field in 19 minutes. All right, and finally, we can move on to Los Angeles, where the Lakers were defeated by the Indiana Pacers, 111-104. The Pacers were led by Caris LeVert. He had 30 points. He was incredibly efficient, 12 of 16 from the field. And they also got a triple-double from Domantas Sabonis, 20 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. And Malcolm Brogdon made his return. He has only played 12 of the last 14 games for the Pacers, but he had 19 points in this game in 26 minutes. They look so much better with Brogdon and LeVert back in the lineup. There was no Miles Turner, though, for the Pacers. Whereas the Lakers were led by LeBron James. He had 30 points and 12 rebounds. And they got 20 off the bench from Talen Horton-Tucker and 14 from Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook. But unfortunately for the Lakers, as has been the case a couple of times this season, they just fell apart in the second half. They were leading pretty significantly in the second quarter. It was a double-digit lead throughout the majority of the second, but then the Pacers started to chip away at that lead. It was down to just 6 heading into the third quarter, and then in the third, the Lakers were able to tread water. They were still up by 4 heading into the final period, but then that's when the Pacers totally flipped things. They outscored the Lakers in the fourth quarter, 35-24. They pretty quickly tied this game up after a couple of minutes, and then they took the lead and never looked back. The Lakers remained within striking distance, but they just could never catch Indiana down the stretch. Caris LeVert was instrumental throughout the fourth, and he had a clutch 14-foot jumper with 1 minute to go that put the Pacers up by 11, 111-100. And so a really good gritty win here for the Pacers, coming back from